What's up, everyone? You're listening to episode 14 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. This is a bonus episode. We're going to be talking about the Yankees, their lack of starting pitching, especially when it comes between Cashman and Larry Rothschild. And today, we have two guest hosts today, my Uncle Tony and my cousin Vinny. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
Doing well. So we'll just jump right into things. We'll talk about the Yankees baseball. So the Yankees are coming off a four-game sweep of the Boston Red Sox over this past weekend. They had a doubleheader on Saturday. And, you know, going into this series, I told both you guys through when we were texting each other a couple days ago that they had to come out and really perform this series. They couldn't lose. I wanted the sweep. They got a sweep. But I really thought they had to come back and sweep the Red Sox after the embarrassment that they had last week. Mm-hmm. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I feel like it's definitely huge coming off this, like, and not playing so well the last few games and coming playing, like, you know, their division rivals and coming with a big sweep. So I feel like it was huge and something they really needed.
Yeah, and what about you?
I thought it was great. The only negative I took out of this weekend was the way Hap pitched yesterday. I mean, they gave him a 7-0 lead, and you know he didn't give him length. He could have given him a little more, because I think this bullpen, you hope that they stay fresh.
Yeah.
October, so they don't get burnt out.
Exactly, especially that they're going to have to go with start or what, like the openers,
mm-hmm.
like for the rest of the season and potentially into the playoffs. But yeah, I agree with you, Hap. You know, I mean, we'll definitely get into it a little bit later on with Hap and like kind of like how the starters did. But we'll go like game by game. So first we had Paxton, who came off and started the first game of the Red Sox series. He went 6 innings, gave up 2 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And I thought that was huge for him. Probably a really good confidence booster. He got smoked and smacked around in his last start against the Red Sox. So he hasn't really had a great season all around. This is like his highest ERA at a 4.61 so far in his career. But I thought this was a huge game for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, after the J.D. Martinez home run, he was lights out the whole game. I mean, he was a lot of swings and misses, and just he struck out a lot of guys. And he was just dominant, so it was good to see that. You hope you get more of that from him.
Yeah, it's nice to see a pitcher who, you know, has been struggling actually kind of finally have a big game against someone, against a team that's, you know, tough in their division, a team that, you know, their rivals. It's good to see him step up finally.
Yeah, exactly. And this would have been a start that Aaron Boone could have came out and said we saw in and out of dominance from. Like how he said it last game when he gave up like 7 runs.
That was a weird game though. I mean, he had like 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, but
he everything that they hit went like 500 feet. So yeah. It was just weird. It was a weird start.
And to me, like the way I look at that game, it was a very weird game. But in today's MLB, it's either home run and strikeout. When you have a guy that was going up there giving up bombs left and right, you probably had all these hitters going up there thinking, "Oh, he hit a home run. I'm going to do it too." So to me, that's how I feel like he got the strikeouts from pitchers. I mean, hitters trying to really hit the ball hard and stuff. But yeah, that was definitely a weird game.
Yeah, he couldn't fool Betts.
Yeah, no. What, he had 3 home runs that game?
Yeah, 3 that game.
Yeah.
All off of him.
Yeah.
3 home runs off Paxton.
And then in game 2, the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday, you had Domingo Germán, who came in and was pretty much like lights out throughout the entire game. He went 7 innings, he had 5 hits, 2 runs, no walks, and 7 strikeouts. And now, he's been their most consistent pitcher throughout this season. I mean, he started off really, really strong. And then he kind of suffered, I think it was like the hip injury, like sort of like midway through the season. And you could say that maybe 2 to 3 starts might have been affected because of that hip injury. And since he came back, I mean, he hasn't really been like dominant the way he was, but he's still arguably one of their best pitchers this season.
Yeah. I think he just got his, like, what, 14th win, something like that?
Yeah, he, like, leads, I think he's, like, tied or leads the major leagues in wins.
Yeah, I saw it on Instagram. I said, I didn't even know he had 14 wins already.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He's been solid.
Yeah, no, you definitely see the, his improvement from, like, last year, is huge. Like,
yeah.
He's really coming. He feels more confident. He looks more confident.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they need all the pitching they can get, so.
It's good to have someone like that, even with Severino being out for this long time and having someone step up like him,
mm-hmm.
who's throwing well. It's good to see that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, too, if Sevy was healthy or just, like, let's just say, like, next year if Germán continues? Because every year Germán has been getting better and better. So could you imagine our 1-2 punch is Sevy, like, a healthy Sevy and Germán, who's been pitching great? I mean, that'll be perfect for them moving forward.
Sevy, I don't know. I don't know what to think with him. He's very, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That shoulder and... He's a big guy, too. He's not even small. He's a big dude, but you know, fragile.
Yeah, you just got to hope that he can stay healthy. Because he's been a guy who, who's been strong in the first half of the season and then just flames out come the All-Star break. And then there was an opener in the second game of the doubleheader. We don't have to talk much about the openers. You know, there's probably like 8 to 9 pitchers being used by the Yankees in that game, but they came out and got a win, which is huge. I believe they, what are they like? Have they lost the game yet this season with an opener?
They got to be like 8 or 9-0 now with the opener. So that's they crazy. Haven't lost. So, which is why they might use that in the postseason
time. Yeah. It would be a good idea to use the postseason too. Because then put them for like the first game and have like an actual starter go, you know, first. That's,
exactly what I was telling him.
Yeah, we were talking about that before.
I forgot who was saying it on the fan. They said, maybe you have Chad Green go like 2 innings, bring in Sebi, have him go 3 or 4.
And you're already in the bullpen.
Yeah, and if you have a lead, bring in like, you know, Canley and Britton and Chapman.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of using the openers come playoff time, but if you're going to go that route where you have Chad Green and then you put in a guy who is a starter and proven to be a great starter in Severino, then I'll be a little bit okay. But if you're going Chad Green, then Cortez Jr., I mean, I'm not.
I don't know if they'll go with Cortez in the playoffs, especially if you're playing like the Astros.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I wouldn't do the.
I think if they were to go with an open in the playoffs, it'd probably be like Chad Green. Then they'd probably either go with like with an actual starter, maybe Herman or Severino for like as long as they can, maybe 3-4, and then go to the bullpen.
Yeah. What about CeCe? Would you throw him in after a starter?
I don't know.
I mean, after an opener?
If you're playing the Astros, no, because CeCe would just get eaten up.
Yeah, I can't see him starting at all in the postseason, right?
He's not the same pitcher.
Yeah,
I definitely wouldn't start him against that young Astros lineup. No. They all just smoked the ball.
Yeah. And then finally, the last game of the 4-game set with the Red Sox, you had J.A. Happ, who went 5.2 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Now, for Happ, I guess this is a good start for him. I mean, it's definitely been better as his last couple starts, but you know, like you were saying earlier, you had a 7-0 lead and you're slowly creeping them right back into the game.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, the home runs, you don't care because it's like whatever, 7-0. You all right? Throw the ball. You know, just let them hit it.
And everyone's hitting home runs this season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. I know. But that was the only thing I took out of the series that disappointed me, that he couldn't give them like 7 innings. You know, it was 7-0.
You'd think with a 7-0 lead, you'd be able to stretch it out a few more innings, just kind of
Exactly.
Up 7 runs, kind of give them 2 more innings, stretch it out, and get to the bullpen. But
yeah.
But after the sweep of the Red Sox are now 14.5 games back at a first place. And then what'd you say what they were out of the wild card?
6.5.
6.5 out of the wild card.
It's good. So,
yeah. I mean, there has to have been other times where World Series champions went from being first place to like not even making the playoffs or like not being as great the next year.
So it was like the Royals too. The Royals are like that. Yeah. They were so good in like 2015, and they just, I don't even know what happened.
They won their championship and...
Well, they could have won it in 2014 too. Yeah. But then Bumgarner came in and it was like, it's over.
Yeah. And they were a little inexperienced too back then, the Royals. Yeah. They got their experience, they came back, and I mean, granted, they were playing the Mets who were carried there by their starting pitching, but maybe, I don't know, maybe if they were playing a more experienced team, you think they would have won still, or the Royals?
In 2015?
Yeah, when they played the Mets.
Yeah, no, they had a good team. That team was famous for always hitting the ball. They didn't strike out a lot. They were always putting the ball in play.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I think the Yankees are starting to do now, especially when they got LeMahieu, get more guys that put bat on ball instead of just swinging and missing and doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so not only are the Red Sox 14.5 back, but the Rays, although they are 8-2 in their last 10 games, they're one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. They are still 8 games back of the first place Yankees. And it's just been, it's crazy when you think about it, when it comes to the Yankees, they have what, like 14, 15 people on the IL. They've had a total of at least 20 people hurt, like 20 different players hurt throughout this whole year.
I just heard that 23.
22 currently hurt or no, total overall. Yeah, they've had 23 total different players hurt so far this season, and yet they have, what, 72 wins this season?
It's crazy.
70, yeah. It's crazy. Not even like the guys that have been hurt are like the backups. The guys that have been hurt are the top Yankee players. Like you had like Stanton, Didi was out for a while, Judge.
And Duhar hasn't played at all, and he was a big part of the team last year.
Stanton played, what, 4 games?
Stanton came back, played 4 games, and he's back on the IL.
Yeah.
And then now you got to hope that – well, I heard that Torres' core is okay.
Yeah, that was weird. What happened?
They showed one play where he hit a ground ball to third, and he was running to first, and then he grabbed like his like his groin or something. I don't know what he did, you know, but I don't know.
And he got rushed to the hospital or something like that after the game, and his dad came out and said he was okay, but like what was
I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Maybe
don't know.
They thought it was the same thing as what Luke Voigt's currently dealing with, the sports hernia.
Oh yeah, hernia.
But you can't lose him for any amount of time.
Yeah, notorious, he's been very important. Yeah.
At least I mean, if you're gonna lose him now, it's the time because they got the lead. But in the postseason, you're gonna need that guy.
Yeah.
He's gonna be.
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
Yeah, and since we're talking about Torres, just real quick, I'm just curious what you guys think because a couple of kids on my baseball team actually thought this about Torres, that, you know, when years down the line, when it's all said and done, they believe that Gleyber Torres is going to be a better Yankee than Judge will be.
I can see that. I think he's better than Judge right now. Overall, like, better. He's a better complete player. He's a better hitter. He doesn't strike. He strikes out, but not like Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And his defense is really good.
Yeah.
So
and he's also like almost your age too.
Yeah. It's what? Yeah. 2 years, 3 years older than me.
Yeah.
Well, he's a year younger than you.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I know. That's crazy.
So and Judge is always a guy who's like who rookie year hit what like 53 home runs something like that. Yeah, like
51 or 52.
Yeah, something crazy. And then like the next year he still hit a few, but like I feel like Torres is a guy who also, you know, he puts the ball in play a lot, and he's also a really good infielder. Mm-hmm. I mean, Judge also has a cannon in right field, but...
He does, yeah.
I mean, that's Torres is a guy who makes insane plays. He, you know, he has a good arm, hits the ball well. He's all around. I think he could be one day being a better overall player than Judge.
Yeah, I definitely... I see that. I can see that.
Yeah, I agree, too. And, like, with Judge, like, he is, like... He's not, like, an exact, like, a home run or strikeout guy like Stanton is. Like, Judge does, I mean, I saw his batting average the other day. He's, like, almost, I think he's a little over 300, like, hovering around 300.
No, he dropped. He's, like, 280.
Oh, he's at 280 now?
I'll look it up.
I'll double check for you real quick.
Well, he was in a little bit of a slump where he was striking out, like, you know, like, last, what year was that? When he was striking out, like, in sync, was it last year or the year before?
It was last year.
He just kept striking out every at bat. It was just like, all right, you know what's happening.
His rookie season in 2017, he had 208 strikeouts, but he also had 52 home runs, 114 RBIs, and last year was 152 strikeouts. But he's actually at 283. He dropped a lot then because it was like almost like a week and a half ago. He was at like a little over 300.
He has been striking out a lot. So after his rookie year with, like, all these pitchers, like, especially in the American League, he's seeing him like, crushing the ball.
Yeah.
Because I also haven't seen him hit a ball, like, he used to be putting balls into orbit, like, crushing, like, the ball in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I saw him, when I was at a game in Citi Field, they played the Mets, he hit a ball all the way up top to, like, that last row.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I'm not... Yeah.
Wow.
Not that, like, anybody's been really hitting the balls, like, the 500-foot home runs lately, but he's a guy who... was crushing the ball, and I haven't really seen that. Mm-hmm. I guess these pitchers figured him out.
And what's weird, too, is that so far this season, he has yet to pull a home run. Like, he hasn't pulled a home run at all.
Not at all yet?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I heard in the broadcast, like, last week. And
the home run he hit last night was the first one he hit in 14 games.
Wow.
And let me just say this, LeMahieu, in that doubleheader, he was up, I don't know, in two games, what do you have, 8-9 at-bats? He hit every single ball that he put in play to right field. It was amazing. It was like Mookie Betts was like all over the place catching the ball. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, LeMahieu was a really, really big pickup. And that was one of the first things I said when they signed him. That, you know, he brings something that the Yankees really, really lacked last year. It was just solid overall hitting. He's not going to be a guy that strikes out over 100, 150 times a season.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that is a really good hitter. He hits well above 300. He gives you a little bit of pop coming into the season. I mean, now he's like surpassed his home run total of his career. But, you know, now, I mean, you want to say now he brings pop. He brings overall hitting. He's not a pull guy. He hits all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Great defender. And he's like a utility man. He's like the Marwin Gonzalez that you wanted over
I'm
the
offseason. I'm glad they didn't get Marwin. He's not having that good of a year. But you know what's funny? Evan Roberts kept saying, oh, the Yankees should go after Michael Brantley. And he actually went to, and he's having just as good. I don't think his average is as good, but I mean, the guy's having a fantastic year.
He started in left field. For
wasn't he like always injury prone too? Like,
he
was with the Indians. He got hurt. Yeah, but this year he's just like having a monster season. So,
Which is crazy for a guy who's always been hurt, and all of a sudden now he was a starter.
He's always been good. He's always been good. It was just the injury bug was always hurting him.
Yeah. And now we'll get into like the meat of what we're discussing today. It's just the starting pitching, especially when it comes to the New York Yankees. And I feel like the Achilles heel for the Yankees, not only this year, but in years past, especially, you know, you want to say the past almost I guess, 10 years now, since 2009, has really been starting pitching for the Yankees. I'm going to even go as far as saying that in a 10-year span between 2009 and now, I think the only solid starter that they have signed is CC Sabathia, like over the long term.
I don't remember everyone that they signed.
Well, yeah, but I just but the one that stands out to you the most, the one that's had the most impact on the Yankees team and was the best, you know, you got the best bang for your buck, pretty much. Was
he's CC been the Sabathia. Only? Has he been the only starting pitcher since the last time they won the World Series? Though, yeah. Like it's the only, one that's still a Yankee.
It's only him and Guardia, the only two Yankees that are still there.
So I would say he'd probably be the most, like you said, the most of your money, like since that time period, because I don't remember the last like ace really that the Yankees have had.
Exactly
like, who?
I think it was him.
It's pretty much him.
It was like the minute you know free agency started, they're like, okay, 6 years, $140 million. They were just telling everyone, don't even bother.
Who could have been like the last big name Yankee starting pitcher? Like, I can't even. I would have to probably go back. Before 2010, I don't remember.
Pabano.
And I mean, even this year, the lack of starting pitching is really showing, especially this season. These are the starting pitchers this year and their ERAs. And I know, like, I have a lot of my friends on baseball team telling me, oh, like, there's so much more that goes into a starting pitcher than just their ERA. Like, I get that, but like when your starting pitcher like Hap is giving up 5 runs a game. I don't care how many people he strikes out per nine. I don't care how many people he walks per nine or what his whip is. If you're giving up, like for Hap, for example, almost five and a half runs a game, like you're taking your offense right out of the game.
Yeah.
But so we'll just kind of go in order. Paxton's having a career worst 4.61 ERA. Tanaka, 4.78 ERA. Herman actually got it under 4 for the first time since the beginning of the season after his start against the Red Sox. He's at 3.98. Hap, like I said, is at 5.24, and CC is at a 4.78.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear that the Yankees are struggling, especially when it comes to starting pitching this year. And like I said, the Achilles heel has really been starting pitching. Now, who's to blame for this? The lack of starting pitching. And I don't just mean this year, but years past too. And we could just go as far as 2009. We'll make it this. But the past 10 years, who do you think is to blame for their lack of starting pitching? And their lack of developing starting pitching too, like prospects wise.
I guess it'll go to the minor leagues. But no, I see what you're saying. I know you're blaming. You want to put the blame on the general manager.
Yeah, like for me, like when it comes to acquiring people, whether it's free agency or trades, you got to put that on Cashman. I mean, I have a list of players here that he has passed up on the past 4 or 5 years right now, where Brian Cashman either thought that A, that it was the wrong timing or bad time to sign these players, or B, he thought the asking price, whether it was trades or contract-wise, was unfair. So we have people like Chris Sale, Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, Patrick Corbin, Dallas Keuchel, Marcus Stroman, and Trevor Bauer. And instead of acquiring those guys, you know, those guys are, you could say that maybe two of them are deadlocked for the Hall of Fame. Potentially more could eventually be eligible for the Hall of Fame, like when their careers are all said and done. And I think the two deadlocks are Sale and Verlander. I think that's safe to say that those two guys, especially Verlander, will be like
a deadlock. Sale, I don't know. For the Hall of Fame? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Verlander's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sale, I don't know. Sale's fallen off a lot.
Well, this is his first year that he's been bad.
Even last year, he wasn't.
Yeah, but they won the World Series last year.
Yeah, I know.
And all these guys, 100%, would have been an ace on the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. All those guys on the list. All
right. But if you look at, like, Verlander, he was coming off – he wasn't doing well with the Tigers at the time, and he was making $28 million. And I guess Cashman didn't want to take on that salary. Like, we didn't know that he was going to go to Houston and become, you know, Justin Verlander 15 years ago.
Yeah, and that last year with Detroit, he in that half season before he got traded – he had a 3.82 ERA, so it's not even like he was struggling terribly. His record was he was 10-8, but he was also on a bad Tigers team. So it's wins and losses. I don't really count those starting pitchers.
What was the year that? Because I know there was one year where Verlander got snubbed for Cy Young by Rick Porcello.
He came in second place, right?
Yeah, but Verlander had better numbers that year than Porcello, and Porcello still won.
That was 2016. He was 16-9, but again, you know, you could say wins and losses, whatever. Mm-hmm. He had a 3.04 ERA, 227.2 innings pitched. And 254 strikeouts and a 1.001 whip, Verlander. So, I mean, you could say that Verlander was kind of like tailing off in his career, but, I mean, that was a big swing and miss by the Yankees. They had a higher waiver claim than the Astros. How do you let him go to a competitor?
They would have won the World Series that year.
100%.
They would have definitely beaten the Astros in the ALCS.
And Verlander posted a 1.06 ERA the rest of 2017 with the Astros.
I think once he won that World Series, that cemented him as a Hall of Famer, because he was a beast in the playoffs that year.
But you know, I mentioned some of those guys, and then these are the starting pitchers that were in the starting rotation between 2011 to now that Cashman opted for instead of going after, like Sale, like Verlander, Cole. You had Kuroda. Who? The Kuroda, I'm forgetting his first name. The Japanese pitcher, number 18.
I don't remember.
Oh, what's his? I'll get his first name for you. Maybe that'll make you remember.
I think he starts with like an H.
Hiroki Kuroda. Yeah.
Hiroki.
Yeah, he was with the Yankees from 2012 to 2014.
I don't remember.
He was in the Dodgers before that.
He was a starter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like the big... He wore number 18, and then when Tanaka came over, the reason why he was number 19 wasn't because Kuroda was still on the Yankees at the time.
Yeah.
And he couldn't be 18. I remember that.
Yeah. Tanaka's been a good signing. You know, if you look at the body of work, he's been a good signing. He hasn't been
Yeah.
I feel like he's inconsistent. He's good.
He's a good playoff pitcher.
But that's what you want. Yeah. When he gets to October, last year, he was great for the Yankees. And then even 2017, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll give you that one. But I mean, that's one guy on a list of...
That 2017 series pissed me off, though, man.
Oh, yeah, when Sanchez dropped the ball.
That game seven, though, just broke my heart, man. Yeah. That team... They should have went I don't know. Because they weren't expected to do anything. And then they just, boom.
Blew everyone out of the water.
Yep. Especially being down 0-2 to the Indians. And coming back.
And that's when last time Bird was relevant, when he hit that home run off of...
Andrew Miller.
That was a great series when they played Cleveland.
That was
great.
And then they had that thing where something with Gerard. I forgot with Gerard. I didn't see it. But like he didn't... He could have taken someone out, or I forgot what happened.
It sounds familiar.
And
was it against the Astros?
No, it was against Cleveland. The
Indians?
Yeah. But they came back and won the series, so nobody really cared anymore.
And that was the same year that didn't Seve give up like the first couple runs in the wild card game against the Twins?
Yeah,
and
he
then
got Didi rocked.
Came back and hit that big home run in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, he got smoked in the wild card game.
Yeah. But so just going back on that list, these are the pitchers that Cashman opted for instead of getting Sale, Verlander, Cole, Corbin, etc. You had Hiroki Kuroda, Michael Pineda.
Uh-huh.
Adam Warren was in your rotation at one point because, you know, they had him and they had no one else to pitch. And then Nathan Eovaldi, who maybe his peak was with the Red Sox last year. He's having a horrible year this year, especially when it comes to just staying healthy. But, you know, like, I don't know. To me, like, Cashman... You have to get those guys, like a Chris Sale, Justin Verlander. Do you want to say Chris Sale has fallen off this year? All right, this is his one year where he hasn't been fantastic for the Red Sox.
How was he last year? He wasn't that great last year. He was good in the playoffs, I'll give him that, in the postseason.
Last year he had a 2.11 ERA.
Did he?
Yeah.
What was his record?
He was 12-4, 2.11 ERA, 150 innings
pitched. Oh, so he
missed
a lot of time. That's what it was. He didn't pitch the whole year.
Yeah, because that was the first time since 2014 that he didn't pitch over 200 innings.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was on the DL a lot.
He had a 2.90 in 2017, a 3.34, then a 3.41, 2.17, 3.07, and then, I mean, the list just keeps going up and up. But this is his first time that he's had an above 4 ERA. He's at 4.68 right now.
Yeah, he's having a rough year. He's like, what, 5-10 or something like
he's
that?
He's 5-11, and this is his third season with the Red Sox, and they acquired him via free agency, right?
Like, no.
That was a trade?
With the White Sox,
Over the offseason then, right? Because he was with the White Sox the entire
2016. They traded him. Remember when he cut up the uniform?
Yeah, the White Sox wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah, and then but they gave up a lot to get him.
Their third baseman now, Moncada, right? Like, they gave him up?
Young Moncada.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to get Chris Sale for at least the 2 years with a 2.90 and 2.11.
Yeah, I didn't realize he pitched that well last year, but he was hurt a lot. That's what it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just – Cashman has had his swing and misses when it comes to signing free agents and missing out on free agents or trades. Like, let's just go through the list. So, Chris Sale, you want to say it was about the money, and maybe back in 2017, going into 2017, like you said, the Yankees weren't expected to win anything. So, maybe it wasn't the excuse. It was just bad timing to acquire Chris Sale.
I don't remember.
But regardless of what it was, could you imagine having Chris Sale – in 2017 with the Yankee team, not expected to do anything, have the run that they had, you have Chris Sale, and potentially you could have gotten Justin Verlander through a waiver claim that August, you would have had Chris Sale and Justin Verlander for the next couple of seasons.
Sometimes you think you're like, you know, some like when a guy goes to another team, you're like, man, this guy's doing good. But then you want to say, like, imagine this guy was a Yankee. Like, who knows how good they could have been if they were, you know, in New York. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. But someone like Patrick Corbin, who wanted to be in New York, who was a Yankee fan growing up, grew up in New York, was very vocal about playing in New York last season. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, he's having a fantastic season this year. He's like a 3.2-something ERA with the Nationals. He signed that big 7-year contract. But, I mean, maybe he would have been even better in New York because he would have wanted to be here.
I think, but you got to remember, though, he got $140 million from the Nationals. The Yankees weren't even anywhere. They got outbid by, like, $40 million.
Yeah, but why not? You needed it, though. You needed starting pitching. And this is the time to do it. You're really not paying anybody else other than Stanton on long-term, big-time money. You're really not paying anyone but Stanton. In a few years, you're going to have to pay Judge. You're going to have to pay Gary Sanchez. You know, after this year, you have to figure out what you're doing with Didi Gregorius. So,
yeah, they got
to
extend him.
Like even with Justin Verlander, they would have had to pick up his money in his contract if they got him through waiver claim. But that's the time when you could make those moves because you're not paying other people yet. So you have all these guys for cheap. This is the time where you have to win.
They don't want to go over that luxury tax that where they're going to get – they're going to be paying – dude, it's a lot of money that they have to pay. If you're paying a guy, say, for argument's sake, $10 million and you're over that luxury tax, you're really paying that guy like double what the you're paying him $10 million, but you're paying another $10 for that guy in the luxury tax. So it's really like $20 million that you're paying for that guy. If you think about it from that perspective.
No, I agree with you, but I mean, you haven't won a championship in 10 years. You're expected to win. You have a good team now. You can't think your window's going to stay open for 8 to 10 years.
This is the year they have to win the World Series.
I feel like, you know, sometimes you do have to worry about, like, the money and stuff like that, and, like, what you're doing and how you're spending it. But if I was a GM, and I was, like, if I was a Yankees GM, I think at the same time I'd be like, yeah, I got to worry about how much I'm spending and who I'm giving it to. But this is the time where you want to sign a big-name pitcher, especially if you're really – you're the best team in the American League. You have the best record. Now is the time to go after a stud and – actually win, you know, win the World Series again.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was trying to get, you know, like, I don't know. Well, they weren't high on Matt Bum, but,
it seems like Cashman's not high on anyone that's good.
But, like, even Stroman, if the Blue Jays are like, all right, give us Gleyber Torres, are you really going to trade Gleyber Torres for Stroman?
When it comes to someone like Marcus Stroman and Trevor Bauer, I mean, I would have loved to have either one of those
on the Yankees. I wouldn't have given up Torres for
anyone. Yeah, 100%. I wasn't ready to give up someone like Garcia or Gleyber Torres. Anyone that's on the roster right now that's not Gleyber Torres or Judge or Sanchez, mm-hmm. any of the core people, I'm not giving up. But like someone like Hicks, I'd make him available. He's a great fielder.
They don't want them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But anyone in the minors that's not named Garcia, I'm willing to give up to. I don't know why they're holding on to Clint Frazier, who's an immature baby who runs the social media when he doesn't get his way. Or like Esteban Florial. Even if Frazier was mentally strong enough to be a Yankee, and if Florial, like, regardless of, I think what he broke his wrist in the offseason last year, so he mm-hmm. hasn't really played a lot. But those are two of your top prospects that isn't a starting pitcher. And, you know, they're both outfielders. You have Stanton for the next 20 years. You have Judge out there. You have Hicks. You have Gardner still under contract. Those guys are never going to play in a Yankee uniform unless they're filling in for injury. So why are they holding on to them? Why not trade them in a big package that doesn't include Garcia for someone like Marcus Stroman or Trevor Bauer? Now, you know, maybe the Indians and the Blue Jays knew that the Yankees were desperate and wanted them to overpay. It was either overpay or you're not getting them.
Right.
But if that wasn't the case, like, you have to move Florial or Frazier. But I didn't want Robbie Ray or any of the other Trevor Roark. I didn't want any of those guys. Right. But, I mean, those two guys would have easily been an ace on this Yankees team.
Was Clint Frazier in talks with getting – like, was he – like, in any deal?
I have no idea.
Because I personally would have been totally fine with getting rid of him for someone like Trevor Bauer. I mean, I know Clint Frazier did come from the Indians, but I said I would have been fine getting rid of him. Like, he's good, but like you said, he is immature. And I feel like he's not fit to be a Yankee. Might as well get rid of him and get, like, someone like Stroman or Bauer.
Yeah.
But if you listen, Cashman was on, like, multiple, like, Michael Kay show and all this, and he said, I want to make deals, but either they wanted too much. Like, mm-hmm. He was like, I'm not going to overpay for something that, you know, I mean, like Robbie Ray. Like, I mean, you're going to give up the moon for Robbie Ray? No. You know, so he probably figured what we have is better than what we would get by a trade. And then plus we have to give up. Now, to be fair with what you said, Keuchel would have costed them just money.
Yeah, and then not even the trade pick because he was signed after that deadline.
I agree. Looking back, draft pick, not trade pick. You're right. But and the fact that they got outbid by like $2 million wasn't... I have to say you're right about. Because Keuchel, even if he's like decent, he would have been just like another guy to just throw out there and lefty and, you know. So, yeah, Keuchel, I think you have a point. Cole, he'll probably be a Yankee next year.
Yeah, if Cashman's willing to open up the checkbook. Because you know he's going to ask for a lot of money. He's having another fantastic season. Yeah. And the Astros pretty much made it clear that they're not re-signing him after getting Greinke. Because Greinke's under contract for another year or two.
I heard that's why they went after Greinke, too. Because they figured, all right, if this guy leaves, at least we'll have Greinke to fill his spot. That role.
Yeah, he's just as good. And you have him, I mean, he's owed a lot of money, but...
I told you the Yankees should have gone for Greinke, too.
Yeah, but he didn't want to come here to begin with back in the day.
So why always weird about coming
here. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, assuming that he would have said, hey, you know what, this is a good team. Maybe we have a chance to win. You know, I don't know if he would have.
Wasn't his anxiety that he was worried about coming to New York?
Yeah. He didn't want to play in, like, the bright lights and, like, a big city like that. Right.
He's going to
Houston. But he did L.A. He did that in L.A. Yeah. L.A. is similar.
And L.A., too. I totally forgot about that. He went to L.A.
And he was great in L.A., you know? So, I don't know.
I mean, I know New York's not for everyone, but...
He's a good pitcher, though. And he's old, like, pitching-wise, but he's in good shape. Like, he takes care of himself. So.
And what's so funny... So it's hard, too. Another guy keeps... He riles up there sometimes.
And what's funny, too, is that my co-host, Nick Rivera, he said that Zach Greinke's real name is actually Donald.
Really?
Like, it's Donald Zach Greinke or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But that's always pretty funny. It's like a Steph Curry. His real name is Wardell, but he uses his middle name.
Wardell?
Wardell Stephen Curry. That's his real name.
Uh-huh. But, you know I was all for the Yankees going after Bumgarner and getting him.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I know. You've been wanting Bumgarner for like 3-4 years now.
He's still one of the best postseason pitchers.
That's exactly why, you wouldn't even care how he pitched now if he was here. Like, you just, all right, whatever, you know?
He was a guy who started one game in the postseason and came in and closed out the next game.
Like, yeah, game 7 against the Royals. Yeah. He came in the 5th inning in that game, too, and just... The Royals did have a shot, though, I was telling him. In the 8th inning, I forgot what happened, but somebody got, like, a couple of hits off of him, and the Royals, like, was trying to score, and they got thrown out at home. And that was it. And then he was like, okay, I got you guys now. And the 9th inning, it was just, the game was over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... But but then freaking Giants started winning.
Yeah, so that's really what killed him. And then going back to your point, how Cashman said, you know, everyone wanted us to overpay. You know, the Yankees kind of their starting pitching really went down the drain at the wrong time. It was like what, a week before free agency, and their starting pitching got bombed by Minnesota. They won 3 out of 4, 2 out of 3 against Minnesota.
They were lucky to even come out of that series.
Yeah, just because their
wins.
Offense, their offense really picked it up, but like. You know, their starting pitching got torched in Minnesota. Then they got destroyed in Boston. And then you had the trade deadline a few days later.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every team knew that what they needed was starting pitching and that they were going to go after, you know, everyone's a great starter. But, you know.
But there's your answer then. Like, you're answering your
No, yeah. But for me, like, I didn't want Robbie Ray. I didn't want Trevor Roark. The four pitchers that I would have traded overpaid a little bit for would have been Noah Syndergaard, who was unavailable. Zach Wheeler, I wouldn't have paid as much as I would have with Noah Syndergaard, but he was also unavailable. Bumgarner, I would have given up whoever they wanted besides the core group on the Yankees now and Garcia. And Stronenbauer, same thing. You know, they needed pitching. And it just goes back to the point. Like, for example, the Nationals a few years back when they were really good that one year. And Steven Strasburg, I think he was coming back from Tommy John or some major injury. And he had an innings limit. And come playoff time, the Nationals chose not to pitch him because they wanted to save him for their window of winning championships. And look what happened. They'd never even come close to that again. So to me, you can't expect any team, regardless of how old your stars are, to have this window of 8 to 10 year span of, oh, we have a solid decade where we could potentially win, you know, we have 5 really good years out of that 10 year span to win championships. If you are a really good team now, like this Yankees team now is better than it was in 2017, is better than it was last year. And it's crazy because their starting pitching sucks. So why are you going to take that risk and not acquire anyone? Like at least Keuchel, who would have cost you nothing.
I think of all those guys that you mentioned, Keuchel would have been the one that they should have gotten because it would have just cost them the money.
Exactly.
No draft pick.
Only 1 year, two on the books.
Yeah, and it would have been like 1 year and then whatever, you know. But I don't think I would have overpaid either. I wouldn't have overpaid for Syndergaard. I don't like Wheeler at all, please. Stroman, no. Bauer, no. Like, this team needs, like, even Keuchel. If Keuchel was on the team and they wanted to trade him, I wouldn't have been huge on Keuchel either, because it's just, they need, like, a Bumgarner or a Scherzer or a Verlander, which they don't have. So, what do you do?
But how is Keuchel doing this season? He's with the Braves, right?
Yeah. I heard he's been doing all right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pull it up real quick.
He's not the same guy he was when in that wild card game against the Yankees when he blew him away.
Oh, no, when he was with Houston, he was lights out.
Yeah, he's not. That's not who he is anymore. He's not that good like that.
Right now, in 56 innings, he has a 3.86 ERA. So he would be a 3.86 in 56 innings.
What's his record too?
He's 3-4.
3-4
with a 1.250 WHIP. But even at a 3.86, he would be the best Yankee starter on the staff right now.
No, I totally agree. If they had him. I mean, you can kind of like massage Hap out of the way a little bit.
Exactly.
Of everyone that's there, I think Hap and CeCe are the two, you know.
Mm-hmm. If they would have had Keuchel, you could have split time between Hap and CeCe.
Yeah. Keuchel's also a guy who's pitched in the AL East before.
American League.
He's played against AL East competition. Yeah, I agree.
He knows what he's doing.
Well, Wheeler is a free agent this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees like him, so
Maybe they're just waiting.
Huh?
Maybe they're just waiting to get him. Maybe like the thing with Wheeler and Syndergaard too, because I was talking to a couple of my friends about this. Like, yeah, they haven't really had great years, but since the trade deadline, I mean, Thor has been unhittable.
He's been lights out.
Same with DeGrom actually too. I mean, I know DeGrom is still DeGrom, but I mean Wheeler's picked it up too. But you know they're on a lousy team with the Mets. There's a lot of nonsense that goes on behind closed doors. There's a lot of drama that goes on in front of the closed doors too.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe with a change of scenery, maybe going to a very well-run organization, maybe that makes them better in a way that like Justin Verlander, how when he left Detroit, he went to the Astros and became better than he was in recent years. So maybe with a change of scenery, like especially with Wheeler, maybe that would have really helped him. But I mean, Larry Rothschild would have been the pitching coach.
So if you're Brian Cashman, and you wanted Syndergaard, you call up Brody. What do you offer?
I'd give up Florial, Clint Frazier.
They have Estrada, to have a pitcher. I would give
Estrada.
If I'm Brody, I'm like, what about Garcia? I'm giving you my second best pitcher. Who am I going to have to replace him?
Yeah, but that's the one guy that would have been an untouchable for me, because he's supposed to be crazy good.
Okay, so then, exactly. So if Cashman's calling trying to make these deals, if it doesn't, what do you want him to do?
The only person I would have given up Garcia for, like, now that I'm like, been thinking about it for a little bit now, would have been either Bumgarner or Syndergaard. That's it. No one else.
I don't think he would be worth it to get rid of for like either Bauer or Stroman. Even though as much as I wanted Bauer, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, once this kid gets a chance, I feel like he's not worth it to get rid of for Bauer or any of those guys. Not worth it.
And what's interesting with Stroman is that I know you're not that high on Stroman, but he has the best ground ball rate in the MLB, and that's exactly what you're looking for in today's MLB, where everyone's hitting home runs. And what's funny is he gets traded to a team at one of the worst defensive
infields.
Yeah, one of the worst defensive infields. But I mean, that would have been, you don't think that would have been a good move for the Yankees? You're in a smaller ballpark that's prone to home runs. And you're getting a guy that hits that pitches for mostly ground balls.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna give up, you know, my good guys. He's just whatever. I don't know. He's average. I don't look at him as like a difference maker. I don't look at him as Bumgarner. I don't look at him as Justin Verlander. That's what this team needs. If you're gonna give me a run of the mill, middle of the rotation guy, why do I need him? We have 50 of those guys already on the team. Yeah. What do you need another one for? You need like a guy that's going to put you over the top.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the way Verlander did with the Astros. They were good, and then he made them, you know, look what they are now. They're
a powerhouse. I think that Astros pitching coach has something behind the scenes that we don't know, because all these guys that come to Houston, they're just lights out with Houston, but like they're good on other teams, but then Houston, they're just
you got to remember, one of the, Nolan Ryan's an owner there, right?
Yeah.
So
like he's Charlie like Morton old too.
School.
Mm-hmm.
He's old school, and he's just probably like, this is how we do it, and he probably does it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're gonna learn how to pitch,
learn from one of the best, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty good guy to learn from.
And like Charlie Morton, wasn't his career dying before he went to the Astros, and then he became great?
He's old too, like right? 400 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's
not that old.
Well, he's not young.
Check. I don't know, but he's having a good year with Tampa too.
Yeah, he's been in the league since 08, and he is 35 years old.
Wow, I didn't realize he was that old.
So he's a 2.78 ERA this year with Tampa. Last year he had a 3.13, and that was his lowest since his entire career. That was the lowest last year with Houston. But yeah. I mean, he's been in Houston this in 2016 with Phillies. He had a 4.15 ERA, and then he came to Houston had a 3.62. Then last year with Houston he had a 3.13, and now he's a 2.78. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, like all these guys that just go to Houston.
I thought he was retiring for some reason, and I remember thinking like, why is this guy retiring? I didn't realize he was 30. Whatever.
35, yeah. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star both years of this year and last year. Yeah. So, I mean, we've been talking about Cashman for quite a while. Another person who I think deserves the blame is Larry Rothschild, the pitching coach for the New York Yankees. I mean, he's been the pitching coach since 2011. And name me one pitcher that they have either improved when they acquired them, whether it was a trade or free agency, or actually developed their own prospect.
I don't know, but if you look at this year, Chad Green in the beginning, his ERA was like 40.
Now, I'm talking about starting pitchers, though.
Okay, no.
Yeah. Relievers, yeah. Like, Chad, like, whatever. I mean, their bullpen has always been good, but I'm talking about just starting pitchers alone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Name one guy who that they have developed or they have gotten who has been better.
What do you mean? From, like, the system?
From their system. Like, for example, like Severino came up through the system. Mm-hmm. One guy that they've either developed, that he's developed through the system, or when they acquire them via trade or free agency,
he's not working with the guys in the minor leagues.
No, I know.
He's only once they're in the majors.
Yeah, so I'm like name one. It's been almost he's been the coach since 2011. It's been almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. One guy who has either gotten better or he has helped since being in the major leagues.
I don't know. I mean, if you talk to the guys, they'd probably be like, "He's a great guy." You know,
I mean, he's his boss. Gonna, right. He's got to say good things.
I feel like there's enough evidence to prove that like there's obviously something going on. In that, like, when pitchers, if they meet or whatever, there's something going on that I think maybe the pitchers, that they're not agreeing with stuff that Rothschild is telling them. Because, like, for instance, like, Sonny Gray was a guy who was awful with the Yankees, who kind of was, every time he pitched, you just knew they were going
to
lose.
Yeah,
and then
we used to call him Cloudy Gray, or, like, Rainy Gray.
Uh-huh. And then, all of a sudden, he goes to Cincinnati, becomes an All-Star, and then, I mean, his ERA drops. All of a sudden, he's this good pitcher again. I mean, he was okay when he was with Oakland, I think, before.
Yeah, he was a Cy Young finalist one year.
Yeah, and he was good, and then he came to the Yankees. All of a sudden, something happened, and now he's in Cincinnati. He's an All-Star, and he's throwing well. Mm-hmm. And then he even said, like, there was something where Rothschild or whatever was trying to get him to throw pitches, and he wasn't comfortable doing something. Mm-hmm. And, like, pitching is all about being comfortable, too. And if he's a guy who's not comfortable with the stuff he's saying, and he's just listening because, like you said, he's his boss, then I feel like maybe leaving was the best bet, but then now it sucks for us because now he's gone, but now he's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like something that we need is a good pitcher, and now he's good, and he's young too. Yeah,
it's not like he's an old pitcher; he's young, mm-hmm. And he's on the list. I have two guys on here that really stuck out to me that either were developed poorly or didn't really improve by Larry Rothschild. I mean, Sonny Gray, you hit it right on the nose there. Everything you said, I agree with 100%. And then you look at a guy like AJ Burnett. Now he was great in the World Series when we needed him most. Mm-hmm. But if you look at his Yankees ERAs,
He wasn't good at all. Yeah, he always had like a over 4 ERA.
Yeah, and he was a guy who was good prior to coming to the Yankees, came to the Yankees under Larry Rothschild, didn't perform well, and post Larry Rothschild, he performed well again. Mm-hmm. Like with the Yankees.
He went to the Pirates though. I mean,
yeah, but in 2011, I mean that was Larry Rothschild's first year. He had a 5.15 ERA, and then every year after that, he was, for the exception of one year where he was at 4.5, he was at in the mid threes. But
you're talking about Burnett.
Yeah, for Burnett. I mean, you could even look at people like Phil Hughes never reached his full potential. Like he was supposed to be, wasn't he talked about being this great young pitcher? Mm-hmm. He never came out to be anywhere near what people were saying. I mean, the biggest one to me that really pissed me off the most is the Sonny Gray one. Because mm-hmm. I mean, he was young, like you said. Cy Young finalist, comes here, sucks, and now he's an All-Star again.
But when you bring up Burnett, Paxton just mirrors him in so much. Because I think of all the pitchers on the staff, Paxton has the best stuff of everyone on this team. And he's just, you know, he's weird. And it was the same thing with Burnett, because Burnett's stuff is nasty. Mm-hmm. And the dude would just get, it was the same thing. He would strike out a lot of guys and just get rocked at times too. So
yeah.
I don't know. You maybe have a point.
I feel like he was also a guy, too, like, later on when he was with the Yankees, he was a guy that we would all talk about, like, how we would talk about Sonny Gray, like, last year. Like, if we knew he was pitching, we were all kind of like, great, like, yeah. another another loss.
Yeah, and that's how it is now with Paxton almost.
Yep.
You might be right, though, with the pitching coach, because Sonny Gray even said that. Like, you know, yeah, he wanted me to do this. And
yeah, I think it was a lot of more breaking balls he wanted to throw, right?
Something like that. Sonny Gray has always been good. He's always been a good pitcher.
He has good off-speed pitches, too. I remember Sonny Gray's curveball was actually very good.
Yeah. No, he's a good pitcher. His stuff was good. It's just I don't know what the hell happened here. He just... Mm-hmm. It didn't translate for him here.
Just something going on behind closed doors with Rothschild and these pitchers. I just can't figure out. But
then, who would you get then if you replaced him as the pitching coach?
David Cone?
Andy Pettit?
I don't know. Well, you think that... I don't think Andy Pettit would want that job. Cone might do it, because Cone's very...
He wanted to manage.
Yeah. I like Cone. Cone's good. Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Andy Pettit, too, is not like if he would want to coach or not. I think he would... He would probably be like one of the best bets, because like when I was at spring training, I said he was working with all the pitchers like on like that other field behind Steinbrenner. It was like a one-on-one lesson with Andy Pettit. Like, could you imagine like being that lucky?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like if they were to have someone like him who has experience in pitching big games, pitching the World Series and stuff like that, I feel like maybe that could help out a little bit.
You might have a point, because Rothschild's like what? He's old, right?
He's like 60-something.
Yeah, so maybe a younger guy.
With
postseason World Series experience.
And I think the analytics thing is probably pushing Larry Rothschild to do certain things as well. Like, let's just say this team, for example, like with Sonny Gray, for example, you know how he said that he was being told to throw a lot of breaking balls, more breaking balls than he felt comfortable with? Maybe it was something like going into a series against the Indians. Maybe Larry Rothschild said, Sonny, you know, they swing and miss a lot of breaking balls, so I want you to throw a lot of breaking balls in your start against the Indians this upcoming Saturday, for example. Maybe it was something like that. Like, it was just very analytically driven.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Yankees really need to sit down and kind of go through everything. Maybe, you know, our hitting has been really good. Remember when the hitting sucked and they fired, what was his name?
Kevin Long.
Fired him, and now look at the offense. The offense is really good. Granted, you got better players now than what you had when towards the end of his career with the Yankees, but maybe it's another thing like that. You got to really sit down and look at Larry Rothschild's body of work with the Yankees, because I'll give you one pitcher who right now is still unproven but could be the one guy that they've helped develop, and that's Domingo Germán. You know, this first year he came up as a reliever, didn't really do that well, and every year since he's been getting better and better. Mm-hmm. Like we said earlier, I know we were kind of saying wins and losses don't mean much, but I mean, he's right up there as one of the winningest pitchers this season. Mm-hmm. In Major League Baseball. You know, I'm not even throwing Severino on that list of developed pitchers, because he's been a guy, as great as he is, he's a guy who, like we said a little while ago, he's dominant, a Cy Young caliber pitcher the first half, but this is what, 2-3 years in a row where he's flamed out in the second half. And if you're a pitching coach, that's your ace that you call quote-unquote ace. How is that not your number one priority as a pitching coach to make him right? He is your Justin Verlander. So
I'm sure they're trying to get him right. Still don't understand what happened to him. The shoulder, and came like a lat injury or something.
Yeah. And maybe does this like mean anything to you guys? Like, Severino went to Pedro Martinez and got help from him.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of really, like, I guess, going to your pitching coach. Like, he reached, I don't know who reached out to who, but like, he's listening. Obviously you get help from everybody else too. It's not just your pitching coach and your team, but like, Severino has credited Pedro a lot for his success. And when was the last time he credited Larry Rothschild for helping him be a better pitcher?
That's a good point. But I mean, Pedro, I told you guys, Pedro's the best pitcher I've seen.
Yeah.
A little older than you guys. So in my generation, there's no one better than him. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I don't care. Clemens, Randy, it doesn't matter. Pedro was the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't blame him for wanting to go to Pedro for help. I said, if you need help, I mean, I guess going to the best is the best option. But you're right. Like, I feel like if he's not asking his own pitching coach, then something has to be wrong. Yeah. He's asking a guy who, you know, was a Red Sox also.
Exactly,
like,
too. He's pitched for your rival.
Yeah.
No, you have a good point. So maybe that's something that they can consider this year when the year's mm-hmm. over. I don't think they're going to do anything now.
No, yeah. Nothing you can do now.
But you know, Cone is very analytical driven. He loves
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
analytics. So I don't know if that would... I don't know. But, you know, your manager's like... He's like my age. He's like 42, 43 or something like that. So maybe you get a younger pitching coach that might help.
Yeah, so he really, at least he's not, like, as long as he's not a 99-year-old man like the Mets just hired.
I heard that he's good.
Yeah,
like, and they've turned it around. Their pitching has been very good.
So. But nah, it's just funny that they like went for a guy who's almost 100 years old.
To just replace. A Met thing.
Yeah. So I guess we'll finish it off by what are your guys' expectations for the Yankees now, moving forward for the rest of the season into the postseason?
Good, man.
I mean, I feel like everything that they're doing right now with the offense, they're doing right. I said all these guys, these young guys who not even – and as big as the home run is in the game now, all these guys, even if they're like 1-9, if they don't hit home runs, they're all putting the ball in play. So I feel like what they're doing right now, they're winning the right way. It's not just all home run, like, you know, to win the game. They're hitting the ball, they're putting the ball in play, and they're scoring runs that way. So I feel like being able to do that is something that could help them big time come postseason. I said the only thing I'm worried about is the pitching come postseason. Like, if they can't get that better or figure something out, at least by the time, you know, October comes when they're, you know, they're playing in the postseason, it's going to be tough, especially coming and playing Houston. I said, but what they're doing right now, I said, even with what they have and they're taking, like, whatever they have right now and they're doing well with that, I said, I think they're going to be fine. I think they'll do fine.
Expecting the World Series?
World Series would be nice. I said winning the World Series would be even better. But, I mean, just being able to make it to the World Series with what they have now is something I would say is a big accomplishment. I think I'd be happy with that, just watching them play in the World Series again with that atmosphere.
So you wouldn't be disappointed if they don't win? If they make it but don't win the World Series, you're okay with that at the end of the day?
I would be okay with it. I'd be upset, obviously, being a Yankee fan. You want to see them win.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't win, they make it that far with, like, showing what they have now with barely any starting pitching. I said I would be okay with just being able to see how far they make it with that.
Okay.
I think this team has to win the World Series this year. I think it'll be a major disappointment if they don't. If they're going to win, it's going to be because they hit and their bullpen locks it down. And if they get, like, you know, I don't know. You hope Tanaka steps it up. You like what you see from Jermon. Hopefully he continues it. And then you got to see what happens with Betances and Severino, because that could be, if they come back, there's your trades right there that you wanted to make. But for me, they got to win it all this year. It's just, you know, this team is too good. They're too fun to watch. And to me, it's World Series a bust, like normal.
Yeah, for me, you know, I kind of agree with you. Like, I'm expecting a World Series victory this year. You know, in 2017, that was the start of the rebuild for this Yankees team. You saw glimpses of what they could do in 2016 when they brought over Gary Sanchez, when they brought over Judge, and then remember Clint Frazier and Judge. Was it Clint Frazier and Judge, or was it Judge and Tyler Austin?
Tyler Austin, back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, their first at bat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we saw glimpses of these baby bombers when they were called that back, a couple of years ago. And then in 2017 came, you were just expecting a good competitive team. They came out, they were a wild card team that year, right? That was when they beat the Twins. We were talking about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They were one win away from the World Series, and, you know, Sanchez really cost them. I say Sanchez cost them that World Series that year, cost them the title that year, because he dropped the ball. But you're as a Yankee fan, you're thinking, all right, we weren't expected to be here. Your window was supposed to really be open in 2019. That was when your dynasty was supposed to begin. And then 2018, you know, you're coming off the year when you know, a bad play cost you a chance to go to the World Series. You were one win away. And then you had a great year. You won 100 games, but, you know, the Red Sox won 108. But the Red Sox celebrated twice on your home field. They celebrated one when they beat you to win the pennant, the AL East. And then when they won the AL division. Pennant, when they won
the division series.
The division series, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
So
it's
embarrassing. Yeah, so you have to come back. You have to come back this year and win the World Series. This was the year that you were supposed to start the dynasty. 2 years ago, you were one win away. Last year, you got embarrassed by the Red Sox twice. Last season, you didn't even make it remotely close to how you did the year prior. So this season, you have the best team that you've had, arguably since 2009. You have to win this year, in my opinion. You have to make the World Series. And you have to win. You know, I've been saying for a while that, like I just said before, 2017 was on Gary, but 2018 and 2019 is going to be on Cashman for not getting the starting pitching that they need to get over the hump.
That's the one thing.
Yeah. But like I said, hopefully, you know, they hit enough.
And I mean, they hit enough. I think they lead the major leagues. I think they have the best record after trailing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by when they're playing a game after trailing, they're the best record of coming back.
They're never out of a game.
They're never, yeah.
You never feel like, oh. And that's funny because, like, if you go back to like the Jeter and A-Rod teams and stuff like that, if they were down 5-2, you're like, all right, this game's over. Now they could be down 6-1, and you're like, you know what? This team can come back. They mm-hmm. chip around. Same with the Sox lineup is crazy. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they looked at, all right, we're down 7-0, chip away, and they did.
And that's why you can't waste this year for the Yankees. I agree. You can't waste it.
I agree. They need to win this year. I definitely agree.
But we'll see. I mean, right now they have the best record in the AL by like percentage points. Because
I think Houston.
No, the Yankees Houston. Posted it this morning, actually.
Yeah, the Yankees are the best team. Right?
Right? Yeah, by percentage points, though. Like, I think Houston has played one more game or like maybe won one more but lost one more. But the Yankees percentage-wise.
Because Houston was like 74-39, and the Yankees are 73-30.
No. The Yankees are 72-39, and the Astros are 73-40. They have one more win, but the Yankees have one less loss.
Yeah. But percentage points, right?
Yeah, the Yankees are 3 percentage points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. This has been a great season for the Yankees, but...
Twins aren't even that far behind either.
No, they're not.
The Twins are like 3 games behind the Yankees.
And they rake that team. They rake.
Yeah.
If they would have gotten, like, a starter...
They would have been...
You would have been a little scared of that.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, they put up a really good fight against the Yankees, who are a very good offensive team.
That was a game fun of the year, series, that one game.
That was a fun game. That was a fun series, because I didn't realize how good Minnesota was.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be an easy series. I had no idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the days of them being the whipping joke. Boy for the Yankees, mm-hmm. I think that's over.
Yeah, when Teixeira hit that walk-off
I was at that game.
A few years back.
I was at that game. That was 2009.
Almost 10 years back.
Yeah, that was when they won. Yeah,
that was the one that A-Rod hit the he tied it with a home run against Joe Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that building was like shaking. It was so loud. I couldn't even think. That's how loud it was. And then next inning, Teixeira just pulled one down the left field line. Barely went over.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was going to be a home run. I remember watching highlights, watching that game live. I had no idea that was going to be a home run.
Yeah, and the stadium went, and then everyone went to like stands or Billy's or whatever. And it was like a club atmosphere out there. It was crazy.
The only moment that I have something remotely close to that was playoff time. I think it was 2011 to 2012 with Ruly Banhas. He hit like the game. He pinched hit for someone.
A-Rod.
He pinched hit for A-Rod. Hit the game tying home run and then hit the walk off home run. Yeah. He pulled both into right field. And I just remember the stadium, like you said, just rocking.
That was the game Jeter broke his ankle too, right? When Banhas hit that. Because I remember Jeter broke his ankle.
No, I think they got swept. Tigers. Yeah, I think they got swept by the that happened in the first
game.
Oh,
you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Right.
I don't remember exactly. I remember as soon as he did it, though, he went to dive for a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just crumbled to the floor.
Yeah. He was like also getting up there in age that year, right? Like he wasn't young.
No.
But thank you guys for hopping on the pod. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did.
We'll see what happens with this Yankees team. Hopefully, it ends with banner number 28.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Let's go, Yankees.
Let's go.